Welcome back, everyone. My name is Kaz, and this is episode 99 of the Skulls Cast. Joining me tonight, special guest, Sly09.
Ah, hello. 99.
I think I'll have to do something special for 100. But
I think that's how it works.
No, I think we did something special for, like, 67 or, I don't know, some silly number.
So does that mean you have to do something special for, like, 108 or
yeah,
something like that?
I can only do it on silly numbers. Yeah. What we're talking about today are the blue cards of a Magic the Gathering expansion that you may have heard of that came out recently called Shadows Over Innistrad.
Yeah. We already touched on some colors, and now we're going to touch on another.
Yep. So last time we did red, and this time blue, and why don't you go ahead and get us started.
All right, let's get us started with Broken Concentration. Blue, and one for an instant at uncommon. Counter target spell. Madness for blue and three. So cancel.
Right. I guess...
this is a heck of a one to start off on.
I know. I mean, for one, the art is pretty rad.
Yeah,
I like
this.
There's all sorts of, like, little things going on in it, and you could pick it apart for ages.
It reminds me of
for another, Pain. Yeah, it's like, man, this guy, he's in a mirror, and that mirror is shattered. But there aren't the same like hard lines.
Right.
His hands are turning into little like strips of paper or something. Is that part of it too? Does that break your concentration to be like, oh no, I am a paper person? No, I've got it. This guy is upset because he is in the process of becoming being drawn by Wayne Reynolds.
Well, luckily he's not currently being drawn by Wayne Reynolds, so has that going for this
sooner person. Or later.
But sooner or later.
That's really all I have to say about the card. It's like straightforward otherwise. Like,
I guess it's notable that the Madness... So most of the Madness cards that we've seen before have been cheaper, with a couple exceptions where they've been on the same level. This one's more expensive on the Madness cost because of kind of what that represents for this card.
Yeah, but it's also like a lighter blue commitment on the Madness cost.
Right.
Which is like... It's weird.
Like, maybe that evens out because you had to use a blue card to use it, or maybe you use some other color card. Maybe you just tapped your Mad Prophet to counter target spell.
Right.
You know?
But there are plenty of enablers in blue, which we will get to now.
Right now. Let's go to Catalog. Blue and two for an instant at common. Draw two cards, then discard a card.
Now, please tell me this is a reprint.
Yeah. Catalog?
Yes.
Let me find.
Oh my goodness!
What set it was.
Oh my god!
Every course.
Let me tell you. What's? Are you ready? Are you ready to hear what set it was from?
I was going to say like 8th edition, but what do you got?
8th edition is correct, but also Urza's Saga.
Ooh.
I looked at this and I'm like, how could this not exist yet? And then I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's definitely existed. I saw this and I thought, this is an old core set card. And like, this is extremely, don't have a good word for it, extremely vanilla for a spell. You know, a very basic effect that becomes
like,
more powerful in context.
Look at this. This is what blue does. And it has this portrait of Tamiyo doing something. It doesn't look like she's cataloging, which is kind of the messed up part.
Maybe this is the perspective of the book. Like, we are the book, and she's cataloging something in it. I don't know.
I guess she's looking at the rocks. Why don't they just talk to Nahiri? Like, obviously, she made the rocks. It's like, oh, it's you. You did it. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway,
being a Madness Enabler is really cool. Working at instant speed makes your, like, counterspell deck more real. Like, that was always the thing. You could hold up mana and be like, okay, if they do a thing, I counter it. If they don't do a thing, I draw cards. And you always use your mana.
Right. Efficiency. That's why at instant speed, you get draw two, discard one, and at sorcery speed, you just get draw two. You know?
Yeah, if we're talking about a fair world where designs make sense.
Divination's a card, you know?
Like, I know. Oh, hey, it's a card that features a moonfolk on it.
I'm sorry. Council of the
Sorata. Council of the Sorata. So we have renounced that, and this is renouncel of the Soratami.
Anyway, it's an enabler. It kind of plays the same role as like Tormenting Voice in a way. At instant speed, though.
No, it's quite good. Solid, common role player. I like it.
Anyway, next up, Compelling Deterrence, blue and one for an instant at uncommon. Return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Then that player discards a card if you control a zombie.
So disperse with minor upside.
I mean, I loved Recoil, and
disperse was fine. And there are blue zombies even.
Right. Like, I would play Disperse in Limited just fine as like a, you know, tempo card, a way to counter a trick if they go for like, bump my dude, you bounce their guy. You know. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you might get that upside. It has a...
It's also pretty clear what is happening on the card.
Yes. It's like, I was going to say, the art matches what the card does.
It's so rare in this set. I didn't think that I would have... Guy has a sweet hat, though. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, he's scared, but he's keeping it together, you know?
I like all the different weapons on the zombie kind of scarecrow deterrent.
Oh, that's almost straight lifted from Warcraft 3 and the undead abomination.
Yeah. But, like, I just like the variety, you know? A weapon for every occasion.
Sometimes you need the big hook, sometimes the little hook. We got the axe, got the laser eyes, I guess. That's part of it too.
A little pincer hand, is that on the left? Is that like a pincer? Look, you're ready for everything except for lances. We're missing that part of the weapon triangle, but you know. It's fine. Anyway, this is a card. I like cheap bounce spells, and I like cheap bounce spells that have extra text, especially when we're in a set where blue gets zombies. So
yeah. Heck, you could return their clue to their hand. And they never get to...
And then have them discard a different card.
Oh, man.
Who takes it. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on. Next up, we have Confirm Suspicions. Blue, and three for an instant at rare. Counter target spell. Investigate three times. So investigate, I don't believe we've had on
the there weren't any red investigate cards, so off we go.
To investigate, put a clue artifact token onto the battlefield with two. Sacrifice this artifact, draw a card.
So, in a sense, you can kind of internalize all these things as like draw a card, because that's ultimately what all the clues are doing.
There are a couple other reasons you might want to have clue tokens around. A couple colors care about them, and another couple colors might have things that sacrifice permanence, so you could sacrifice a clue to do the thing.
So you might well find yourself doing something other than drawing a card with it. But they're, I think they're costed such that it's pretty much like draw a card.
that's mostly what we get when we see a card. This is an oddity as far as the investigate cards go, because this one says investigate three times, whereas a lot of the others are kind of like, it is a replacement for the text draw a card on the card.
I'm surprised they had enough restraint to turn this into a plain English language sentence instead of investigate, which
I'm not sure which I like more. I would rather have investigate not be comma, but each a different line, just investigate. It's like, is this misprinted? Like, what's going on here?
I would kind of love that.
Anyway.
Think of like, proliferate? I know that there were proliferate cards, so I'm going to search for rules text prolif.
You probably want the Contagion Engine was the one that did a double proliferation.
That's definitely what I want, because that's the closest thing I have to a precedent. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that says proliferate, then proliferate again.
Yeah. So we don't get investigate again.
Ooh, there was a Fuel for the Cause, which was counter target spell, comma, then proliferate. So they felt the need to separate. Like, this one, it's all one ability on the card, in case that ever matters. And on Confirm Suspicions, it's two separate lines. It's two different abilities.
Yeah. So if you had, like, a line item veto on a card.
Oh, Lord. Oh, the set where that starts happening.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't even wait. Let's not ever make or talk about that set. And let's deny its existence. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and deny its existence. Speaking of denying existence.
Oh.
The next card, deny existence. Blue and two for an instant at common. Counter target creature spell. If that spell is countered this way, exile it instead of putting it into its owner's graveyard.
Yeah, remove soul for more.
Plus one.
Yeah, then they don't get to delirium.
We see a lot of exile effects specifically for that, you know?
But. Yeah, or the guy who's like, I work from the yard, you know, exile me from the graveyard and I do stuff. There's some of that kicking around.
Yeah, this is still a set that cares about the graveyard, so this is, at 3 mana, restricted to just creature spells is quite inefficient, you know, like, especially if we just have cancel up, you know, 4 cards.
Right.
Even at uncommon.
Honestly, deny existence is the kind of thing that you bring in and then hold in your grip to deal with your opponent's one super bomb that you cannot deal with any other way.
Right. Like, you're still going to be feeling okay with playing something like this in limited. It's just that it is a little overcosted for what it's doing.
You know what I cannot get enough of from this card is the illustration. What the heck is going on? Like, okay, so we have like a tornado grippy thing. And then it's just sort of vaguely behind a guy who's showing off his shirt to whoever cares to look.
Okay, what's existence is being denied?
Yeah, is it him? Is he the guy doing the denying, or is he being denied? That actually a gigantic like toilet in the sky that something has gone in? Like, no. Okay, so he found a ghost, and he flushed the ghost into the sky toilet, and he's like... Yeah, he's just doing the like squat pose, and that's how you summon like toilet magic. Yeah, seriously, he's totally lost his mind though because he's not wearing a hat.
That's why he's about to rip his shirt off. Jeez,
God, some of the art from this.
I'm enjoying what I've seen just so far in this. Like, you know, compelling deterrence, and this thing is just silly. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to the next one here. We have Drownyard Explorers, blue and three for a 2/2 human wizard at common. When Drownyard Explorers enters the battlefield, investigate.
Minor correction, it's a 2/4.
Do I keep flipping those?
You said 2/2 this time.
Oh, I said, okay. 2/4. This is a Pillar Field Ox.
Yeah.
I'll get there sooner.
It's a little more reasonable as a Pillar Field Ox. And indeed, I honestly think this is a go-to power creature. For how many 3/2s there are that it just immediately chumps. It can hold. Right. So, honestly, the only complaint I have is the lack of hats in this terrible illustration.
So we've got, like, the two, like, are these supposed to be, like, the like, Scooby-Doo explorers? Like, going through the fog? Or what are they... What are they doing here?
Yeah,
a scribe writing down everything, and
right.
Yeah.
Why is he writing it while he walks? Look, no one has ever done this. I don't care what kind of magic you have in your fake ass fantasy world. No one is going to walk around with a huge book and a quill.
That book is giant.
Necessary? How far out of field are you? Do you not have a backpack while you're doing this exploring? Where do you keep the oil for your lamp? It's all magic. Magic is the answer to every question.
I just assume they have to have the book in their writing so that you get the, you know, person finds the diary and the last passage is just like the...
I mean, even the flavor text is kind of amazing here, which I'm going to point out. Angels and inquisitors terrorize villages, but no one seems to notice the stirring out at sea.
Wait,
okay, genius. genius. Maybe no one notices the stirring out at sea because they are being terrorized.
I can't believe all these people just aren't noticing what's going on with the sea.
How can
yeah, angels and all that. Come
how
on,
can you not notice? It's a subtle stirring. You have to look for it while you're being tortured or murdered from the sky by a gigantic winged monstrosity.
I just assume the stirring is, again, to look at the deny existence. That's the stirring.
Ooh. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is the stirring. Nope. Well, it's, again, I guess easy to not notice that while you're being terrorized. We're constantly slapping you on the back of the head. How could you not notice the branch on that tree way out in the distance subtly shaking while this was happening?
The tides have been coming in higher and higher, according to my records over the last 3 years.
Why aren't you carefully reading this chart and comparing it to known facts from throughout the ages here? Anyway. Oh, Drowned Explorers, you need to...
It's a good card.
Stick to mechanics.
Yeah, stick to the mechanics. You're good at that. Next up, Drunau Corpse Trawler. Blue and three for a 1/1 zombie at uncommon. When Drunau Corpse Trawler enters the battlefield, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield. Black and two, target zombie gains death touch until end of turn.
So this guy has got to be part of a cycle too, right? I must have
pointed this out. Yeah, this is the wolf that we saw.
Right. Ulrich's kin wolf.
Ulrich's kindred.
Ulrich's little wolf.
Yeah, this is a cycle of cards that care about the... So in the first Innistrad, we had the five kind of creature types across two colors.
Mm-hmm.
Humans in green-white, spirits in white-blue, zombies in blue-black, vampires in black-red, and werewolves in red-green. And we get an uncommon that references that creature type and kind of cares about them with both of the colors shown.
She looks like she kind of cares. I mean, hauling that one guy...
Right, like that's the corpse. What? Okay, so where's the death touch coming from then?
Spiky hook.
Yeah, spiky hook.
Like in the left hand thing. The harpoon is for fetching. The spiky hook. That's how they here. Let's touch that, and then you will touch with death or something. I don't know.
Anyway,
probably doesn't make that much of a difference. The illustration is pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
The card is kind of solid. Make a guy.
The mana cost for the body isn't perfect. Like four for a 1/1 and a 2/2 isn't exactly what you want to be paying. But the ability does do well when you have like. You know,
to be honest, if blue got a creature that was like on power toughness for that effect, that would be a little busted.
Yeah, that's fair. that's quite reasonable that blue does not get the best of the bodies.
Well, it gets like a 3/3 and a 2/2. Like, yeah. Oh my god. Stand aside, Mistform Ultimus. You've been body checked out of the way by a corpse troller.
Give your Mistform Ultimus death touch. Yeah.
You could do that with this card.
You could. All right. Moving on. Engulf the Shore. Oh, we do have some weird things going on. How do you not notice these?
Blue
and three for an instant at rare. Return unto their owner's hands all creatures with toughness less than or equal to the number of islands you control. And
I have to like read this a couple times to understand what's happening here.
Yeah, so this is an evacuation style effect that scales based on the number of islands you control.
Toughness.
For what it bounces. Toughness versus islands. Meaning that single blue in the mana cost is actually lying to you. This actually does want quite a commitment to blue to function.
No way. No. Here's how it do. We only care about one toughness creatures and then exclusively have creatures that are tougher than that. Be like, whoop-bam! The blowout.
heck, even the flavor text is Tamio looking at her intense notes about
the
tides.
She was noticing. She noticed the tides. So, okay, the whole thing about this set is like investigation. There's a mystery deep down. It's Emrakul. I really want it to not be Emrakul, because that would be the biggest bait and switch in the whole damn world. Like, we have the previous set where we get two of the three Eldrazi monsters, and then this new set where, like, something is going on with tentacles and horrors and everything. But since they did not print these sets in the opposite order, you know, I would love for the investigation set to be like, ooh, what if Eldrazi exists? And then, like, bam, crystal mana, wow! And that pair of sets probably would have benefited from a longer development cycle anyway, because that was...
Right.
Those sets were jacked.
Because then we get Battle for Zendikar actually getting to use crystal mana and reference it in its cards, and we also get the mystery being our... Again, I would love it if it's an actual bait and switch. Like, oh, it's not Emrakul, it's...
it's Merit Lage! Get yeah, frozen, Lage. Idiots!
Oh, man, that's the thing in the ice. Merit Lage shows up and... is a 2020, you fools. Yeah.
Ah, my favorite... Mono costless 2020.
That's a good one. This is this card's pretty solid, I guess, as far as the card goes.
Yeah, like you can definitely make it work. Like it might affect how you play your lands, and that's kind of cool.
And you're the one pulling the trigger on it, and you're the one controlling. You have finer control over the toughness it hits. Like you have a bit better control over what it hits, what it doesn't. Yeah. Solid card.
Yep. Moving on.
Epiphany at the Drown Yard. Blue and X for an instant at rare. Reveal the top X plus one cards of your library and separate them into two piles. An opponent chooses one of those piles. Put that pile into your hand and the other into your graveyard. So, of note, you might be thinking this is factor fiction.
Yeah. It this ain't, not, though.
This is the opposite of factor fiction. It's a Fictor faction.
It is Fictor faction. The thing about factor fiction was that you could not fail to get the card you wanted out of the piles. If you had picked one card out of everything that was revealed, you could always, always, always get it. This is you separating things into piles and your opponent chooses what you get. Which is way worse. What it means is that the splits will be far more even, I guess. Like that's
Like we had a card much like this called Steam Augury in Theros that was just this set on five.
Yeah.
And wasn't it
that red?
That was red,
like
blue, and two.
Yeah. I had to read that so many times to decide that it was not factor fiction.
I had to do the same thing with this one, and I was sad at the realization, but also it made a lot of sense because this card being factor fiction would have been...
Would have been bonkers.
Nuts. Factor fiction for X. You know, like that.
Now, all that said, it's still instant speed card draw and puts things in your graveyard, maybe in a set that cares about the grave, and,
As far as the art goes, it's one of those story moment cards. This is like finding the end of the trail of the mysteries. That's what the drown.
So they are. The mystery is that they found an arena or maybe a theater. That's definitely an amphitheater or something.
Yeah, like a gladiatorial arena or maybe a theater, something like that. I can see
the angels have watched bad theater, and that's why they are murdering people.
It's gotta be it. Anyway, it's fine, but it's not factor fiction. Be wary of that.
No. Moving on.
Erdwall Illuminator. Blue and one for a 1/3 spirit at uncommon. Flying. Whenever you investigate for the first time each turn, investigate an additional time.
So this card would probably be fine after the flying. Text. I mean, we've had like one in a blue, 1/3 flying, and that's generally a pretty good creature. There are a lot of 2/1s kicking around, and he just sort of steps in the way right out of the gate and says, No, the game's going long, and I'm flying over.
Also, I want a lot of cards this game.
Yeah, blue is definitely an investigation color, so you should not have problems getting extra clues. From a tiny lamp.
I wonder if you could have worded it like, when you investigate for the first time each turn, investigate. Like, could you have just, like, gotten rid of an additional time? Or I guess you have that to make it
yeah,
not
I,
as confusing.
Yeah, that's just clarity, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, the card is... I like flyers in this set because they feel uncommon, like hard to find.
Mm.
And this one also does an important job of blocking 1/1 flyers, which will matter with cards we'll see later.
Yeah, there's a decent number of those kicking around. And yeah, even blocking other 1/1 tokens, which
yes.
There seem to be plenty of.
So this one's all right.
I'm gonna put him as solid role player.
Got a lot of those so far.
Yeah.
All right. Moving along. We have Essence Flux. A single blue for an instant at uncommon. Exile target creature you control, then return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control. If it's a spirit, put a +1/+1 counter on it. So, blink effect.
I could swear that this exact... card name existed before, but I'm thinking of Energy Flux, or perhaps just Flux, which is also...
I was going to say that this exact card almost existed in its text box. If you remove You Control from it, this is Otherworldly Journey from Champions of Kamigawa.
It goes on a journey and then learns.
Yeah, like, this is exactly Otherworldly Journey. Even the spirit restriction, like, because, you know, Kamigawa.
Hmm.
But no, this is a 1 mana, like, great, okay, so, you know, you can have this up at any time to save a creature from a removal spell, or, you know, maybe make it big enough to, you know, win a fight.
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, it would come back untapped?
Yes.
Jeez.
Like, this does a lot.
Oh, man. So you have to be terrified anytime anyone has one island up. That's awful.
Well, it's not going to be the most common of tricks, but yeah, you have to at least respect that that's possible. Probably more so if they actually have spirits, because, like, without the spirit part of it, like, it's just untap target creature, which...
Right, I'll untap my 5/5, you know?
I don't run terrified of Twiddle, is I guess what I'm saying, but...
Yeah, I guess. Still, this thing does a heck of a lot of work.
Right.
Hmm.
I like it, and I'd like to play with it a little bit, because 1 blue for counter-target removal spell is enough for me. Like, so.
I guess it depends on the quality of your creatures.
That's probably the biggest restriction on it, is, like, a lot of the spirits aren't huge creatures. Right. So.
The worst thing in the world would be to have this cool... counter trick, and then they just don't care to kill your creatures because they have better creatures. They're like, oh, all right.
I've got all these tricks, and you have the 5/5.
Gorillas.
Next up, Fleeting Memories. 2/2 for an enchantment at uncommon. When Fleeting Memories enters the battlefield, investigate. When you sacrifice a clue, target player puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
Jank.
Jank.
My jank alarm is going off.
So, one thing, we'll continue to notice this, but this is maybe one of 2-3 cards that mill in the set, so you're not going to be able to, like, draft around the mill plan. Let me just say that flat out. Sorry.
Man.
Like, there's one other card that's a lot better at being the mill plan up ahead, and that's about all. This is actually a, like, a delirium, like, graveyard enabler on yourself, is sort of what I see it as.
Okay. There is one tiny pin that I'll put in that idea.
Uh-huh.
The mill plan could be real if you actually had 2 of these on the battlefield.
Okay, that's fair.
Because, you know, they each double work with each other because each one investigates and each one cares about investigation, so...
Okay, so in multiples, this card gets exponentially better, like, as far as what it does.
Yeah. I'm reminded of Jace's thing.
Because the first copy of this mills 3 cards. The second copy mills 12. The third copy mills 27. Like, if you save all the clue tokens.
Mm-hmm.
So...
if you manage to draft nothing but fleeting memories, then maybe you have a plan on your hands. But
the other thing I want to note, we're going to see this text a couple more times whenever you sacrifice a clue, comma, thing.
Hmm.
It doesn't need to be sacrificed to the draw a card ability. That will trigger if it's sacrificed to any ability. And we'll see a couple cards where that might come up.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. Anyway, moving on to something maybe as jank? Who knows? Forgotten Creation. Blue and 3 for a 3/3 zombie horror at rare. Skulk. I don't believe we've seen Skulk on a card yet. This creature can't be blocked by creatures with greater power. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may discard all the cards in your hand. If you do, draw that many cards.
So, all right. This is not the greatest use of Skulk in the world.
No, Skulk on here. So the Skulk is an ability that's appeared on creatures in the past, and is given a keyword in here. Basically, you can't block the creature with things bigger than it, as far as power goes. On a 3/3, that's it's still going to get blocked by a lot of things. So really, that's not the text.
Yeah, that's the kind of weird part about it. Also, as a 3/3 body, he is in danger of dying to whatever can block him.
Right. So that part is not what you play the card for. It's the other half of it, where you, at the beginning of your turn, you get to discard your hand and draw that many cards. I'd kind of wrote this one off for a while, until the one time I saw it, my opponent played the card, passed the turn, and then discarded two cards with madness on their upkeep and drew a new 6-card hand or something like that. And it's just like, oh, that's a lot of cards.
Yeah, I can't imagine that happening more than once, though.
No.
You know, like, that's the kind of weird part about it. It's like, you can keep doing this until...
you're out of cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Hill Giant with lines of text. So.
Not exactly what I want out of my rare.
No, not, out of your rare, no. That's probably the biggest thing against it.
But he's like, I guess he's too swingy to be an uncommon.
Yeah. The ability on it does work very well. With a lot of the keywords in the set, madness and delirium both. Like, it works well with, like, delirium because just, I ditched my hand, redraw that many cards.
I mean, my worry is that you play your Forgotten Creation and then they just keep beating you down with 4/5s or whatever, because there's plenty of that.
I think there's decks that this benefits in. Okay. It's just that they're not the most common of decks. So, anyway... moving along, we have the Furtive Homunculus. Blue and 1 for a 2/1 homunculus at common with Skulk.
This guy is pretty good.
Yeah, Piker that...
Piker with upside.
Yeah, Piker that can't be blocked by larger things. It's still going to die to anything that blocks it, but it can sidestep a number of things. So, yeah.
Yeah. The only kind of weird part about Skulk as an evasion word is that most of the time, if you have an evasive creature, you want to make it as powerful as possible.
Yeah. So, actually, the idea behind Skulk, what they brought up was one of the cards in the original Innistrad that informed their decision to bring Skulk in here as a keyword was Invisible Stalker.
Hmm.
They wanted an evasive keyword that didn't just mean I equip Butcher's Cleaver and attack you for a billion and there's nothing you can do with it. They wanted it to be like, oh, well, if you choose to power up this creature, the evasion gets worse.
So they wanted the opposite of Invisible Stalker.
Yes.
Okay.
Because Invisible Stalker was a... was a hell dude. Like,
I guess, but like Rolling Temblor was also real.
That was the only card, though. you bring up the one counter in all 260 cards of that.
I know, but you could cast it twice. Like,
but yeah, I guess that's why Skulk exists in the set. We still do have flat unblockability, but
it's weird to bring that up as like, oh, this thing that we did before, we wanted to do the opposite. I have a hard time swallowing that logic.
Also, like, the unblockability wasn't the biggest issue with that card, with the hexproof, but, you know, that's...
I honestly thought that the biggest problem was the human, because then...
the
Butcher's Cleaver give you lifelink.
Yeah, that too. Like, that's a completely different card.
Right. How does a human get to that level with... whatever.
He's completely invisible when he's carrying the Butcher's Cleaver.
You just see this cleaver wandering toward you.
Anyway, moving along, we have Geralt's Masterpiece. Blue and 3 for a 7/7 zombie horror at Mythic Rare. Flying, Geralt's Masterpiece gets -1/-1 for each card in your hand. Blue and 3, discard 3 cards from your hand. Return Geralt's Masterpiece from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped.
Yeah, quite powerful, in fact.
Yeah, this thing, as far as, like, a limited bomb goes, you know, okay, you play this and it's likely air elemental fluctuating around that, and then it dies. And then you're like, okay, I'll discard these lands I have left over, and now the 7/7's in play.
Right. Let alone if any of your things have madness.
Right.
Jeez. You know what I kind of miss from the Madness days?
What do you miss?
Something with Madness Zero.
Yeah. Both of the times Madness was around before this, there was a Madness Zero card. The second Madness Zero card was a lot worse than the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
the same. I love the idea that such a thing could exist. Like, it's difficult or rare enough to be able to discard something that... it would be okay to have this thing that costs zero or whatever, but
right. Yeah, to spoil the rest of things, we aren't gonna find one of those in this set.
That's doesn't exist.
Not around. Instead, we get very large flying zombies like this that are.
He honestly kind of looks like a Protoss.
Yeah,
you look like at the head and, the head and shoulders area. You could, like, sort of cover up the rest, and that's just a Protoss Zealot bearing down on you.
That's what the blue glow is, yeah.
Also, the background looks, I want to say, like, architectured enough to belong to Ravnica, actually. You know? Like, in Innistrad, I don't expect all of the castles to be that built on top of one another.
That's true. Also,
Ravnica was like paved top to bottom, and that was kind of its thing.
I have to assume that that person is Geralt, because there's no other person that would be standing there looking with like no, like just looking, like no other expression on them. Like, you know, they're very small. We can't see if they have an expression, but they're not moving away from this.
We caught him on camera. It's Geralt. Although he has a card, doesn't he?
Geralt does have a card from one of the commander supplement things.
So yeah, Mythic Rare, it's a bomb, it's huge, woo!
Yeah, this is one of the cards that does things from the grave and makes it so milling your opponent is a bad idea, yeah!
Come back at an instant speed, woo!
What? Yeah. Anyway, let's move along. We have Ghostly Wings. Blue and 1 for an enchantment aura at common. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has flying. Discard a card. Return target enchanted. Return enchanted creature to its owner's hand.
So this card is pretty important. And let me spell out a couple of reasons. For one, it works with two of the set's keywords very well, Madness and Delirium. Delirium in particular, because this can put both an enchantment and something else in the grave, So you can go from like zero to delirium right away for no mana, and also rescue your creature if that is if that's helpful. For another thing, it grants flying and power.
Yes.
So when you know, harkening back to our conversation about Skulk and the Furtive Homunculus, they must have seen like Spectral Flight and were like, yeah, Innistrad had that going on. How can we make something comparative in power to Spectral Flight?
Well, they did not make something. This is a reprint.
Wait, like, really?
Yes, this is
a
reprint.
Oh, I thought Phantom Wings was the...
That is also... This one's from Torment.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It took me a while when I first saw this. I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, this isn't the same card I'm thinking of. That was Phantom Wings. And then,
right.
Like,
no, oh, my God. So it is.
Yeah, so this was a card before, so it's a reprint, in the same sort of set where Madness existed, and you had a graveyard mechanic like Threshold.
I am so much happier with the original art.
I know.
For Ghostly Wings.
I know.
It's
look up the art for Ghostly Wings.
It's stock photo baby angel wings that are lifting a helmet out of the sea that has spaghetti falling out of it.
I don't even know.
It's so perfectly bizarre.
A couple other things to note about the Ghostly Wings. So you can use it as evasion. You can use it to save your creature. You can use it to get a creature out of the way. You can put it on your opponent's creature and then discard a card to return the enchanted creature to its owner's hand. If that would win you the game, going -2 to unsummon, you do it, you know.
I'll have to get their taunt creature out of the way, I guess.
Right, if you need the silence on their tree, whatever. And then not to mention all the madness implications of discarding a card. You technically could discard your entire hand to this if you just kept stacking the ability, if you had some reason to do that. It's not just like you discard one card and then it goes away. Like it does, but you can do that multiple times.
Right, right. Like, the ability would not resolve, but you can still pay the cost.
Yeah. This does a lot.
That's kind of neat. Man, this does as much as the, what's his name? Insolent Neonate.
Yeah, it's kind of similar of a workhorse to the Insolent Neonate, though the Insolent Neonate, I think, does a little more.
Well, he has power. And
power, being a creature does more.
He can deal damage your opponent to reduce their life total to zero. So that's the important part.
This card can help you deal damage to your opponent to reduce their life total to zero.
Yeah. Asterisk.
All right. Let's move along to Gone Missing. Blue and 4 for a sorcery at common. Put target permanent on top of its owner's library. Investigate.
They're really making you pay for this clue. Jeez.
Somebody has lost their head.
I want to believe that the hat is what is missing.
Oh, this is like, oh my, is this a poster? Like, you have you have the poster of like missing hat reward $100.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you could buy another hat, but some things are not replaceable.
Right. And you also have to have a hat or else you've gone mad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You lost your hat, you know. You are paying a pretty big premium for this card. Like,
this card is kind of bad.
Sorcery? Like, this isn't even Griptide?
Blah.
Like, the best I can say about it is it's target permanent. So you can...
Oh no. I guess it is that. So yeah. Wait. This is our land destruction.
Ah, 5 mana.
But 5 mana for her, like half a plow under. Plow
then
over.
You draw a card.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to call this card Plow Over from now on.
I don't think you're going to be playing this card.
I don't think so.
All right. Let's move along to another card that you're maybe not, maybe our plan. Invasive Surgery. A single blue for an instant at uncommon. Counter target sorcery spell. Delirium. If there are 4 or more card types among cards in your graveyard, search the graveyard, hand, and library of that spell's controller for any number of cards with the same name as that spell. Exile those cards. Then that player shuffles his or her library.
I want to say that this was a kind of legacy bait spell, but the fact that it only counters sorceries really kills that.
Right, like if this was maybe a like you obviously couldn't have it be negate at one, like maybe if it was instant or sorcery, or maybe a little more like just sorcery spell though is just so narrow.
Mm-hmm. Like I get, what is that even good against? Because like, what sorceries is your opponent casting that Corineal extracting them out of them would be like good?
Right, or even like letting the first one resolve and then like either surgical extracting or the one with split second
extirpate. Yeah, I guess those cards are kind of marginal too. It's just they have a direct function that always works and can target any kind of card.
Right. Like, also, I guess if you're in black, like, they work better with, like, discard spells where you thought sees the thing, and then you go ahead and strip the rest of them.
But... yeah, so it's like, it's targeting this thing that it's not even good at.
Like, what, do I want to counter a Wrath of God with this? Do I want to counter, I would guess I want to counter a Wrath of God if it's happening, but it's just, I almost always want to be playing Negate instead of this.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was in some sort of eternal format, like Spell Pierce is going to do much more for you. So
yeah, put it down. The only cool part about this card is like seeing a brain.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to skip over the next card here. That one's going to be that's another for another time. So moving on to Jace's Scrutiny, blue and one for an instant at common. Target creature gets -4/-0 until end of turn. Investigate.
Okay, so I'm not going to talk about the card at all, basically. It's like, okay, so-so, maybe decent.
The fact that it draws a card makes it a fine trick.
Yeah, I would much rather talk about what's going on in the illustration. Which is, I've got to say, like, okay, so Jace is on Innistrad. And like someone who, before he goes there, like Soren or somebody goes, okay, Jace, you've got to blend in. You can't wear your normal stuff that's not going to fly. For one, everyone has a dapper hat, so you're going to have to get one. For another, got to do something about your duds. And Jace is like, nah, I got this. And just puts another coat on top of his existing coats.
So in the first story they wrote about Innistrad, the new Shadows, Jace shows up and goes to like a tailor and purchases this coat.
You're like, shitting me.
First thing.
Oh my god, I have to goblinize that story.
Yeah. Like, not only goes to a tailor and buy it, but the coat has, like, specific symbols on it.
Oh,
like,
get out of here! the Code of Secrets, yes. Yeah.
Like, it's... I was really hoping for, like, the Kingdom Hearts style, where when you just planeswalk somewhere, you immediately change into clothes that fit in. Mm-hmm. But no, like, to buy this coat, the coat is the most important part of this.
The rest of it I could take or leave.
I'd be fine playing this trick because of the investigate half of it, and, you know. Like, oh, we were going to trade, all of a sudden we aren't, and I get to draw a card later for it. Shrug.
Hmm. Alrighty.
Anyway, let's move along to Just the Wind. Blue and one for an instant at common. Return target creature to its owner's hand. Madness for blue.
I think I know what I want the bait and switch to be, now that we have all these investigations and secrets and stuff. Instead of actually Emrakul, I want the secret to be Hearthstone, and they just print Hearthstone cards from now on and change the rules completely to be Hearthstone.
it's the old gods. They show up here and then...
Surprise, sucker! You thought you've been playing Magic all these years.
Ah!
I'm going to put up by the universe. Okay, what is this card? Unsummon?
Unsummon with a couple, like, you know, two mana unsummon, but if you madness it, it's one. And, you know, if you're madnessing it, that's probably a benefit to you anyway, because you're, you know, I usually think of, so when I internally think of what you're doing on madnessing, it's almost always looting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but so, this is just fine. This is good. Like, I'm fine with unsummon, and I'm fine with an unsummon I might get to like cast when I loot.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Is the what's going on with the art? Like the curtains, are the curtains supposed to look like a something like a Kraken or?
Yeah,
I
don't know.
Is that the mystery?
It's a mystery to me. I know that it's kind of designed to set off a thing.
What do you mean?
Hold on, I'll look it up. Go on to the next card.
Okay, let's move along to the next card, called Lamplighter of Selhoff. Blue and 4 for a 3/5 zombie horror at common. When Lamplighter of Selhoff enters the battlefield, if you control another zombie, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. So we have dogs. We have blue dogs with some conditional text here, as far as the Lamplighter goes, which is honestly kind of take it or leave it a lot of the time.
Okay, so I did find what I was looking for. Trypophobia.
Oh.
Yeah, it's this artwork, I think, is made to set off that particular fear, because there's a lot of, you know, spooky stuff in Innistrad, and they wanted to make sure they touched on absolutely everything.
Okay.
As far as the zombie horror goes, why does he have to be a horror? Why couldn't he just be a zombie?
Looking at it, like, it's probably a combination of, like, the lantern in the chest and the, like, candles on the back.
Oh, yeah, that's horrifying.
Like, that would be my guess.
I'm happy to see dogs, at least.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is dogs with conditional upside, like...
And as far as we know... That's still a perfect creature. Like, nothing kills a 3/5. Oh my god, he could even block that 3/3 skulk.
Yeah, you play your 3/3 skulk, and then the Lamplighter just sits like, down in front of it. And...
I body everything. I cannot die to any removal spell. Wah. Oh, I can't wait for that to happen. Pretty solid guy, not like super exciting or anything.
Yeah, the big thing is, like, you know, if you're looting, like, you kind of want to be able to, like, discard a card with madness, but on 5 mana, you're a lot less likely to. Like, you'd have to be on, like, 7 or, you know, something like that to be able to actually madness a card there.
I do kind of think that they've missed an opportunity here with the illustration or name or whatever. Because if you light lamps, you don't, like, keep every lamp with you that you light. You know, like, oh, it's my job to, you know, go around at night and, you know, put on all the lamps. Could you imagine the scenario where the guy who's lighting all these lamps also carries them?
It's
like,
God.
Oh, okay, now I light the lamp and now I hoist it on my back. What kind of nonsensical Dr. Seuss world does this guy come from, actually?
I kind of think of this as more of a, like, a be wary of fire, be wary of thieves. Bell ringer.
Oh, no. He's one of those guys from Dark Souls 2. He's like, take your torch with you, player.
Yeah, here's a torch. Do you have enough hours on your torch?
This guy has so many hours on his torches.
Yeah, okay, yeah, he has a torch in one hand and then a lantern in another 7 hands.
He is burning it from every end that anyone has ever heard of. Let alone both.
All right. Speaking of burning it on every end, we have another candlelight scribe, the Manic Scribe.
Mm.
Blue and 1 for an 0/3 human wizard at uncommon. When Manic Scribe enters the battlefield, each opponent puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Delirium. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if there are 4 or more card types among cards in your graveyards, that player puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
So, this is the next implementation, or instance, if you will, of the uncommon cycle of things that do a thing, and then if you delirium, then they keep doing it on each opponent's upkeep. I think it's universally, like, their
upkeep. Always their upkeep.
This one is hyper trash, garbage, unplayable nonsense. It doesn't work. Okay, so technically, this card is a human, so it does play into some synergies that are in the set.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, it's I can't.
You're doing the wrong thing, and like you're in the wrong set for this card. Is I guess what I'd be thinking. Like you, this is the second of 3 mill cards we're going to see over the course of this entire thing. if my count is correct. And again, putting three cards, like, you play this on turn two, you put three cards in your opponent's graveyard, and now they're like 2 to 3 card types closer to delirium than they should be at all. You know, and all of a sudden, maybe your creatures are just going to run you over more.
So it's the delirium card that turns on your opponent's delirium.
Right, and
thanks.
If you do have the delirium on, this does become a pretty, like, a kind of a quick clock just sitting there, like, on the side. But it's going to have benefits for your opponent, too. It's going to be, it's not uncommon for, you know, a limited deck to have a couple cards that care about things in the graveyard or come out of the graveyard. And also, this has absolutely no support to help that plan out. It's just this card, you know.
Right. It can't even hold off more than one creature. Like, if you're playing this to try and, like, slow your opponent down, now they're just going to keep attacking you with their 2/1s or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's on you to block. Whereas, you know, look up at, what was it earlier? The kind of good creature whose
the,
name
the Drowned
Yard Erdwall Illuminator.
Oh, the Erdwall Illuminator.
Who's a 2-mana 1/3, like, exact same cost, 3 toughness, has a point of power and is going to do just way more.
As evasion.
Yeah.
This is just not... There is going to be somebody who, like, gets to build this deck one day in Limited, and it still probably won't be very good.
Yeah, and, you know, when you think you're going to win, they'll still Fiery Temper your Manic Scribe.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not like this thing is especially hard to interact with like an enchantment either.
Right.
So,
all right.
Kind of a... I think if we forgot about the wizard part and turned this into a power and powerless and toughnessless enchantment, that it would be just a lot better.
Yeah, it would be a lot harder to remove. Mm-hmm. Sadly, it wouldn't fit into the cycle, which is...
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe anyway. That's how this ended up being so, like, weird and terrible.
I just like the fact that, like, if you could... It's just opponent. That's probably the biggest hurdle this card has to overcome, is it's not like... You can't play it, target yourself, and then, like, oh, now that my delirium's on, now I can focus on milling you. So this is, like... And this turns on your engine and then starts working at your opponent. No, it needs something else to turn on the delirium. It doesn't even do that.
No, it needs an opposing Manic Scribe.
Ah, we have the dueling scribes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can
write this. This poor wizard has clearly lost their mind because the hat's gone.
That's gone.
Everything else is perfectly normal about this illustration, though.
Yeah, this is where you should be writing, not out in the middle of on the docks with your giant book. Like you want to do all of your scribing here by candlelight.
Yeah, I don't know what the advantage to sticking the quills through your hands like that is, but I'm sure there is one.
Yeah, I'm not sure the mechanical, like, how the quills work better that way. Anyway.
Ooh, maybe your blood is ink? And that's just, like, more efficient.
Had that card back in Ravnica. The bloodletter.
Bloodletter quill. Yeah.
Yeah. Try out that card, maybe.
Wasn't that a better mill card?
I'm gonna be honest, I don't even think I know the text of Bloodletter.
I kind of want to look this up now.
Right, Bloodletter, Quill. What we got?
Okay.
It was an artifact.
3-mana artifact, 2 untap, put a blood counter on Bloodletter Quill, draw a card, then lose 1 life for each blood counter on Bloodletter Quill. Blue and black, remove a blood counter from Bloodletter Quill. Well, okay, it's not a better mill card.
It's a better draw effect, though.
Yeah.
It's like a tome. It's like a Phyrexian Arena style thing.
Man, Ravnica was so good. Anyway. On with this set.
Let's move along to Nagging Thoughts. Blue and 1 for a sorcery and a common. Look at the top 2 cards of your library. Put one of them in your hand and the other in your graveyard. Madness for blue and 1.
So wait. This is also a card, right? Sleight of Hand?
Sleight of Hand, bottom of deck's the other card.
Okay, well, I mean, that's slightly better then for this set.
For this set, yes. And also Sleight of Hand costs 1 instead of 2.
Well, yeah, but I figured, like, the plus side of having madness on a card tends to raise its cost. I mean, look at Fiery Temper v Lightning Bolt, for instance.
Right.
For that,
you couldn't have Lightning Bolt with Lightning Bolt with madness. Lightning Bolt.
My God.
Yeah. Damn. This card is extremely, like, is quite overcosted if you are doing the, like, casting of this card, but if you're using it as, like, from the madness portion, like, if basically if you can make this instant speed and have some sort of other upside to it, it feels a lot stronger. You know, if you discard this card to your mad profit and then get to draw a card and also get to draw the, you know, best card of your top two.
Yeah. I suppose one of the only problem with it is that it does not specifically say the words draw and discard, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't function with madness. It more functions with delirium mm-hmm. than anything, because you might choose to put a card in your grave because, oh, well, I need a land in there, so. Yeah. Man, we have a lot of these, like, role-play cards like this.
Right, when are we going to get to good cards?
All right, well, we're getting close. let's move on to Nephalia Moondrakes.
Plural drakes.
Plural drakes. Blue and 5 for a 5/5 drake at rare. Flying. When Nephalia Moondrakes enters the battlefield, target creature gains flying until end of turn.
Hmm.
Blue and 4, exile Nephalia Moondrakes from your graveyard. Creatures you control gain flying until end of turn.
That's kind of nuts. Hey, wasn't there a cycle of Souls of Places that did stuff like this? Like Soul of Innistrad, Soul of Zendikar, Soul of Ravnica, that stuff?
That's correct. There was a cycle of Souls that did similar
things. This is Soul of Moondrakes.
So the Soul of the Moondrake, and the word is, the key word is flying. That's the word here. This flies. It makes things fly. It makes everything fly. Flying.
Everybody flies.
It's a 5/5, and
it's pretty damn good as far as 7 mana creatures go.
Right. You know, and you get to pick up immediately when you play it. You get to pick up an attack with something else, and then you have a 5/5 flyer that if they kill, now you get to threaten, like, oh well, I have the Alpha Strike button.
Right. What if everybody jumps?
Yeah. Everybody jump in the air. These drakes get to teach a little bit of the kung fu.
I'm starting to feel like blue is not really a color in this set. Really. Like, the only blue card that we've seen is, like, Engulf the Shore and maybe Broken Concentration. But even Broken Concentration has this thing going on where blue is supporting everything else that's going on. It doesn't have anything to do, but it has a lot of really helpful stuff for the stuff that you think you're doing.
Yeah. Oh.
So I really think that, like, everybody, blue can support a lot of players, but no one's going to be, like, primarily blue.
Yeah, maybe we'll see cards that change that, but a lot of what we've seen has been support. A lot of what we've seen.
That's why we see all these, like, role-playing cards. Anyway, Moondrakes is perhaps a push in the other direction. If you open this and you're in blue, come on.
Right. You know, you're in blue and maybe something like green, because green would be the color that has the best creatures to pick up in the abstract, you know.
You can give your spider flying and reach.
So it's large, and I like the, you know, that secondary text. You don't have to play it, let it die, and then do that if you have... You know, there's a lot of ways to get cards into the graveyard, and maybe that's how you win, is you just go, okay, I discard my Moondrakes and then jump the squad. So, anyway, let's go ahead and move on to Jeskai Nibblous of Dusk. Blue and 2 for a 2/1 spirit at common. Flying. Prowess.
You know, the only drawback I can see to this guy is that the... Flicker Your Ghost thing, Essence Flux, which is still just the stupidest name for a card. you know, he gets the prowess and then loses it because he comes back. But it gets a counter, so it's like one step permanent prowess.
You permanent prowessed your creature.
Maybe that's not like, so bad.
Or maybe you use the Essence Flux on a different creature, and this got the +1/+1 too.
The only weird part is that I think there's not as much support for prowess as there was in like actual Cons of Tarkir.
The thing there is that in Cons of Tarkir we had a lot of cards that, you know, said draw a card at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in here it's a lot slower because we have a lot of cards that say investigate on the end. So we still have the same sort of similar, like, okay, you can use these to push in and prowess, but it's a lot slower to refill afterwards. You know, if you're using cards that investigate to fuel it.
My favorite part of this guy is the flavor text that reads like a nature video. what's his name?
David Attenborough?
David Attenborough is going to walk in and goes, it fuels its lanterns by leaching the warmth from its surroundings. And then you watch it for like 5 minutes and it's just glows a little bit.
You know, we get this really nice shot of it like slowly glowing and moving.
I'm going to like write in on this David Attenborough at the bottom.
Anyway, as far as the card goes, I love me Jeskai Windscout. And I love two power flyers. I love, there's a lot here that's good. This is a card that I'm happy to have, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's sweet. A good card, but it has one toughness.
Asterisk.
I'm convinced that one toughness is a liability in this
I'm
set.
Not. Because that one toughness is asterisk one toughness.
Okay.
You go for the dual shot.
This guy has prowess, so he gets out of it.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the ongoing investigation. Blue and one for an enchantment at uncommon. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, investigate. Green and one. Exile a creature card from your graveyard. Investigate. You gain two life.
What to say about this card?
I know what I can say about it.
Does that woman have like a tiny dog?
I was gonna say, is that like a small? That is definitely a small animal.
Right.
Like a tiny cat.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's been flattened.
Oh, yeah. There are many people investigating this.
Have to keep going.
Yeah. I like this card a lot. As far as this is like an engine sort of card that keeps cards flowing for you. So importantly, the trigger, the one or more, the way that's worded, you don't get multiple clues for multiple creatures hitting. In one combat, you just get a clue.
Mm.
So this isn't just like two mana, your entire team gains draw a card for you. But this does just, the cards keep coming. Whenever you deal damage with a creature, investigate. When your creatures die, you remove them from your grave, investigate, gain some life, get more creatures. Oh, I played more creatures. They die, investigate, gain more life, gain more creatures. Mm. Sooner or later, mm-hmm. card advantage is going to overrun you. So.
That, not something you would want to double up on, I don't think. But yeah. Hey, something that would pair very well with another blue enchantment. It's Fleeting Memory.
you get your investigate, and you can mill yourself to get the creature cards in your grave.
Yeah, if you're in blue green. Oh man. Oh, man. No, I think right. This is the cards. It works if you're just in blue or whatever, and if you're in blue green, you get to.
My favorite crazy. Part of this is the green activation of, like, you get to this point where it's like, oh, it's the late game. So if you play this early, it's going to be a threat of, oh, I just have all these clue tokens on the board. If you play it late, you play and then go, I'll remove three cards from my graveyard, gain six, and now I have three clue tokens. Like, I'm just going to restock. You know, that sort of thing.
Mm.
Anyway, let's move along to a card that's maybe not as interesting. Pieces of the Puzzle. Blue and two for a sorcery at common. Reveal the top five cards of your library. Put up to two instant and or sorcery cards from among them into your hand and the rest into the graveyard. This is almost a direct reprint of a card from Dragon's Maze that had almost the same art. Which is kind of stunning. I need to find this. Dragon's Mirror.
Right, right. Oh, I remember that card. I remember, like, looking at it and always thinking, like, we could play it, but then you can't make a limited deck that's all instants and sorceries, so you're like, man, that's terrible, actually.
Yeah. I'm going to look this up because I want to find the name of this card because it literally just was Uncovered Clues. Look at the top 4 cards of your library.
Oh.
Which is funny because it even has the word clues in it.
Yeah.
The reason they didn't reprint this is it says put the rest on the bottom of your library.
I see.
But it has like the same art of Jace looking at a thing, like trying to suss out this puzzle. And
Jace is just constantly trying to solve this one puzzle wherever he goes. It's like, I don't understand. I'm such an idiot. Ah,
God, I don't get it. What does it mean?
What does it mean? I keep getting printed on the same card. What does it mean? Oh my God, the next card he's still looking for.
I know. Let's take a look at that one. Pour over the pages. Blue and 3 for a sorcery at uncommon. Draw 3 cards. Untap up to 2 lands. Then discard a card.
I wonder why the discard happens like last like that, you know?
Technically, it doesn't matter the order in which that happens. If you had draw 3, discard the card, then untap 2 lands, you could still use those 2 lands to cast the spell. I believe the untap is in between to make it more, like, again, just to make it more apparent that, yes, you can use the 2 lands you untap to pay for the madness.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you had it after, it wouldn't change the functionality, but it would make it a little more, like, judge, is my opponent cheating?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, they didn't have lands untapped at that time during the resolution of a spell, at which time I'm casting spell. Stupid madness.
Yeah. So that's why this card does it in that order. This is also a pretty dang powerful like draw spell. Like as far as like
I used to make fun of every Sift card that they would print that was worse than Sift.
Mm-hmm.
This one is better than Sift.
I know. Better than Sift.
That's astonishing. They've been so long at making worse than Sift. I mean, you have to have 5 lands, but as soon as you do, this is cheaper. So,
right, and making you have 5 means, okay, you have 5, you play this and discard, like, Nagging Thoughts. And then, okay, you use that 2 mana to draw additional cards. And, like, you know, this is a card that really gives you the heavy refill. Unlike what Piece of the Puzzle does, where it's just like you look at the top 5, try to find instants and sorceries, realize you're playing limited and all your cards are creatures.
I actually cannot wait to start talking about the next card.
All right. You want us to talk about the next one here?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Press for answers. Blue and 1 for a sorcery at common. Tap target creature. It doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. Investigate.
Okay, so I don't care about any of that. That's pretty good. You know, clear a blocker away, get a clue. Neat.
Good card.
This illustration makes me happy for the game of Magic the Gathering. So we have this could go on like an unset. I'm pretty sure oh my God, there's unset art that is this. This is someone asking a gigantic zombie to tell them the truth. Give me the raw toast, Mr. Huge Zombie. And he looks ashamed.
This is like what are we gonna, like, good cop, bad cop, and we have like the you know, oh man. Or maybe is this a zombie pressed for answers in the sense that this is a zombie taking some sort of standardized test.
So the thing that I was actually thinking of is called Head to Head. There's an unhinged card that has, I mean, the art is not actually similar. The situation that the art depicts is a lot the same.
Right.
Man, I know I've seen this. This is like they told Steve Prescott, okay, do your best Brom impression, but also make it comedic. And he's like, yeah, okay, I got this. And he, let me tell you, if those were his instructions, he has hit a home run.
Yeah, I really like how again, the juxtaposition of like how large they are in the background, and this person just like, all right.
Every other card in the set is so like, oh, dead serious, and like hats and ghosts and shit. And then we have this like comedy zombie being like, I'm large, but also sad.
I'm chained to the table, even though I could, like, I could definitely get up, but... Oh.
They put a tiny table there for him to rest on, though.
It's a tiny table. That's why I think it's like they're taking a test. Like, they have the tiny pencil in there.
Come on, you've got 5 minutes left. I don't see that pencil moving. And the zombie's like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't actually have a brain. They didn't give me one.
Oh, no. Again, the card's good. The card is like, this is like kind of like the prowess card you would want to have, you know, even though it's a sorcery. Cool, get a block out of the way. Cool, draw a card. For the longest time, I thought this was an instant.
Man. Oh, that's harsh.
I know. Still good. Like, even at sorcery, it's still good. It's just like at instant, it would have been a little ridiculous. All right. Goodbye, our zombie friend.
We'll get the answers from him someday.
Let's move along to Rattle Chains. Blue and one for a 2/1 spirit at rare. Flash, flying. When Rattle Chains enters the battlefield, target spirit gains hexproof until end of turn. You may cast spirit spells as though they had flash.
Yet another callback to Innistrad, I guess.
Yeah.
Where he had another 2-mana, 2/1 with flash. I don't think this is as powerful as that one, though.
Still quite powerful, just for, again, like, 2-1 flash flying for 2, I'm going to say acceptable without any additional text, you know?
Yeah.
And then we have two more lines after that where one lets you save a creature from, you know, a kill spell. That one's actually a lot less likely to happen because this card usually comes down early. And the other one that lets you play the control game where you play this and then now all your spells are instant. I get to hold up my counter mana and flash in my Nibbliss on the end of your turn instead of...
Right. I can't wait for the deck where we have this and can just, like, sit with a bunch of spirits and hand an EOT and be like, Rattle Chains! Everybody out! Everybody out! Wham! And the best part about that is you get to scream Rattle Chains, which is just that's a lot of fun to say.
Throughout your opponent's entire turn, they keep hearing this rattling noise and they have no idea what that is. They're like, what is that?
Ghost time is now. Ghost shift will be increased 100%. Bam.
200%.
Ah, man, blue got funny all of a sudden. What's We had all this dour, like, oh, nastiness, ghosts, mysteries, we don't understand it, angst. And now, like, comedy zombie and flash ghost.
Yeah.
And then this card.
Now let's move on to the next one, the Reckless Scholar. Blue and two for a 2/2.
Oh, no. No, the thing that I didn't want to happen.
Bit uncommon. Tap. Target player draws a card, then discards a card. So we've got, an actual looter.
Oh, goodness, you're breaking up a little bit. Okay, so to pull the veil back a little bit, this is all going on a Skype call. So I am subject to the whims of internet. Hold on with that. Okay, so let's try it from the top of Reckless Scholar again.
All right, Reckless Scholar. Blue and two for a 2/1 human wizard at uncommon. Tap. Target player draws a card, then discards a card.
Oh, I knew it. This is the Zendikar guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I was gonna say this is a reprint of that, right? Just straight up.
I guess. Yep. He's an uncommon now, which is probably correct. Jeez.
Which also this card existed in Odyssey. As well, I think it was Cephalid Scholar area. But again, that's because looting with madness gets a lot more powerful. Looting with delirium is a lot more powerful. It's target player.
Yeah, yeah. For whatever reason, he can target a player. I want to say that's never actually going to happen, where you target your opponent in.
I would guess the only reason this has target player would be so that players who really want to play with Megrim effects can do that.
Yeah, I frankly don't understand. I think the only reason that Reckless Scholar has target player draws a card, then discards a card on it, instead of draw a card, discard a card, like regular looting or whatever. Is that back in Zendikar, Mark Rosewater had enough of the reins when designing that set to say, oh, all card draw should be targeted so that mill can be real. Because that was like a big thing for him back in the day.
The other reason they like to give it targeted is like the two-headed giant. I could help out my partner sort of thing. Though I don't think that has really informed many design choices.
I don't think so either. So instead we just have something that's kind of janky.
Right.
But man, oh man, Steve Prescott has done it again.
Ah, oh, jeez. Thank you, Steve Prescott. This is A-plus work.
I was worried that this must be like the comedy relief in this dark world of shadowy, like, there is no light in Innistrad.
I'm glad that somebody on the art team had enough foresight to see, like, oh, geez, like, this is so dark and dour. No, we need something to lift things up.
Maybe that's just him. Like, let me see what else Steve Prescott has done, because this guy, yeah. And the other thing is like, let's just put an Is It Wizard in there instead and have this goofball go at it.
Steve Prescott.
Steve. There are too many Steves. Okay.
Oh, I see a lot of more recent cards.
It's like they want him to stick on theme, but he just won't do it. And he's like, nah, let's goof it up.
I see Death Frenzy, which is the alligators getting everybody.
Oh my god. Get him with the alligators.
Dragon Lord's Servant, which was this tiny goblin with a very large platter of, like, food on its back.
Man, so many of his cards are just somehow, like, comedic or crazy looking.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my god, please look at Gluttonous Cyclops for me.
gluttonous Cyclops. Oh, boy. Please do.
God, I guess it must just be a thing where it's like, we don't really want to, like, break in a new artist, and he makes things, like, too hilarious all the time, but, man, his rate is so good.
Also, he's been on the team since, like, I'm seeing Lorwyn cards on here. Like,
yeah, no, his Lorwyn cards look rather constrained, and then the rest of it is like, I'm a goofball. Let's go hog wild.
I love it.
Man, can we just have everything illustrated by Steve Prescott instead of Wayne Reynolds ever? Sheesh. We won't be able to.
We're talking about Steve Prescott because Reckless Scholar is a pretty known quantity. Like, good with madness. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to something, I guess, a little more dour. Rise from the Tides. Maybe not. Blue and 5 for a sorcery at uncommon. Put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield tapped for each instant and sorcery in your graveyard.
Well, is this the second coming of brood thing? Spider spawning.
This is
I mean, it's not, because you can't cast it from the grave, but
this is a build around me card. Like, this is something you see and maybe you're like,
maybe I'll just pick every Nagging Thoughts and Jace's Scrutiny that comes my way.
Or more hopefully, I'll just pick every removal spell, and because those are the spells you want, it's like,
Oh, you're right, I'm sorry. Blue is a support color, and this proves it.
Right. This is even single blue.
This could be, like, the only blue card you have in your Fiery Temper deck.
Oh, god. How about, like, red-black with the blue splash for this, and then your red-black is just, I have all the kill spells. You know, it's like, aha.
Man, kind of want to build that deck now.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Is this what was happening with the sea? Is it just a bunch of zombies? Because that's not really.
Now, I will attempt to curb our enthusiasm a little bit here. This card basically did exist back in Shadowmoor. It was green, made wolves. The wolves were untapped, and it cared about forests.
That's a lot easier to do.
Yeah.
The tapped part of this means, like, even when you do set this up, it's still a turn before it functions. It's
right. It's like, oh, well, Attack me now.
Anyway, let's go ahead and keep moving. We have Seagraph Scab, blue and one for a 1/3 zombie at common.
I like that this guy has a diving bell. It's a good hat.
Yeah.
Has
like a.
I'm kind of ashamed that he is so powerfully trumped by an uncommon. It just like teaches new players. Oh, look at your zombie. Then look at Erdwall Illuminator and feel bad for this set logo being black instead of like shiny.
Right, like you should not be playing zombies, player. Like, is this supposed to tell me that the spirit color is blue and zombies are basically secondary in the color? Like, because they kind of are. I don't know.
Yeah, that's about that.
That's really all I've got to say on that one. Let's move on to the Silberland Snapper. Yeah,
very good.
Blue and five for a 6/6 turtle at common. Silberland Snapper can't attack unless you've cast a non-creature spell this turn. This is just a comedically large turtle.
He knows kung fu, sort of.
So yeah, you have to kind of motivate the turtle. Like I picture it as like the turtle won't move unless you poke it. Like you kind of have to.
You have to cast a clue. Wait, no, that won't work.
We have to press for some answers before this turtle is moving.
Yeah, I guess. This is the definition of a 23rd card.
This is I guess this set's take on a sea serpent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's always a sea serpent is this, you know, this is the body, a 6-mana 6/6, and some drawback that allows it not to attack unless your opponent controls an island or something with the set mechanic. There's one that's like your opponent has an artifact.
I traditionally don't like those at all. I really hate that they keep printing them because it puts beef into blue and it never really jives, and they just keep trying to tell, no, the perfect serpent, it must exist. And I'm like, no, stop it. It doesn't. It's a bad idea.
I like this one a lot more because of the turtle line. I have to say that. That's really what I like about it, is it's a large turtle.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, no, they don't want us looking at the sea. If it were actually coming from the sea, then we'd be looking at the sea instead of paying attention to being terrorized by angels.
Jeez. Continue to be terrorized by these angels. Nobody's paying attention to my charts. I've made a nice PowerPoint and everything.
Everyone seems so distracted. What the heck?
Let's move along to the Silent Observer. Blue and three for a 1/5 spirit common flying. We had this before. It was called Coastline Chimera. Yeah, 1/5. I believe that had additional text that just let it block multiple creatures, but this is the wall.
I'd be kind of astonished to see like this precise like cost and stat block not exist already. Yeah. But I think he's okay.
Yeah.
Flying's pretty good, even if you are like ticking in for one at a time.
I think more relevantly on the flying, I don't think any other like common flyer is gonna get through that, right? Like 5 toughness flying wall, like not actually a wall, but like right. 5 toughness flying, like
I mean, heck, most of the time it'll even hold back Geralt's masterpiece.
Sheesh. Right. Like, you can hold back a lot with this. So, like, there are definitely decks where this is going to fit in just fine. If it's like, I need to play defensively, this is a card that doesn't
like
work.
They throw down Silent Observer and it's like, let's slow down.
Speaking of slowing down, our next card up, we have Sleep Paralysis. Blue and three for an enchantment aura at common. Enchant creature. When Sleep Paralysis enters the battlefield, tap enchanted creature. Enchanted creature doesn't untap during its controller's untap step. We basically get this sort of effect every set with blue.
This is kind of hefty, but it does basically say remove target creature on it.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple ways for them to work around it, but I mean that's the side effect of playing the dehydration style effect, is it's not a perfect solution. Blue doesn't get that. Don't asterisk. I can't say the words blue doesn't get that.
Right.
That's not in blue's color pie, asterisk. But yeah, it is expensive for what it does, but it is a removal spell, and, you know, does that well.
I guess the only drawback there is it doesn't put anything in your yard for delirium.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically it. Let's go ahead and move along. We have Stitched Mangler, blue and 2 for a 2/3 zombie horror at common. Stitched Mangler enters the battlefield tapped. When Stitched Mangler enters the battlefield, tap target creature an opponent controls. That creature doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step.
I think it's a little bit of a shame that they couldn't work yet another Stitched Mangler into the text of this card.
Yeah.
Three times is not nearly enough.
I like saying Stitched Mangler. Like, this is...
He's a little cutie.
Yeah. Kind of like hanging on the wall there.
Yeah.
This is pretty solid. I think this sort of existed in Frost Lynx before. It came into play untapped, but was a 2/2.
Poor guy is still also a horror. What does it take? I guess Seagraf Scab is a zombie, but not a horror.
Yeah, it's... On this one, I'm guessing the three heads.
Maybe. I think that anything that is, like, stitched together is supposed to be a horror somehow.
Yeah, but then, like, the Seagraf Scab is definitely a stitched...
Work. Is he just... I think that's how he died.
Well, isn't that what the word scab refers to in this?
Man, you might be right. No, they forgot that.
No,
they forgot all about that.
Because the flavor text on Seagraf Scab refers to the two people that make scabs. It's a mm-hmm. one zombie maker to another. But no, Stitched Mangler again, more like tempo support stuff on like a pretty good body.
He's decent.
Coming to play tapped is a weird thing to have on a blue card. Like, that's a drawback they usually put on black creatures.
Yeah, I guess they're making that more of a zombie thing.
Yeah, I suppose. Heck, next card does the same thing. If we take a look at Stitchwing Scab, which is blue and 3 for a 3/1 zombie horror at uncommon. Flying, blue and 1, discard 2 cards, return Stitchwing Scab from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped.
This card is incredible.
Yeah. What the heck?
Like, okay, you're under the gun when this guy comes down, because 3 power of flying is hefty. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back. Also, Madness and Delirium is on, so... Yeah.
Or even like, I discard this card to loot or something, and then later in the game it's like, by the way, the scab, I have this thing.
Like, EOT. Whabam. He's back. Okay, untap.
Yeah.
You're under the gun again. I'm back.
Removal sort of fails to work. Yeah, 2/1s every time you do the activation, but... Like, as you said, Delirium and Madness get around that. And
right,
also,
and also clues and discarding lands and stuff.
Yeah, that's solid. That's going to get you places. Jeez. This is a solid card. Like,
this is one of the few, like, primary blue cards that we've seen.
Single blue on the activation and the...
I know.
So, we've seen a lot of this single blue stuff, and we're going to continue seeing a lot of the single blue stuff. What makes this one a horror? The tail?
Well, he's a scob. He says scob in the name. So yeah, to Seagraf Scab. Oh my god, yeah. What consistency?
Is it mana cost then? Like, scob's too small to be horror? Like,
is the wings?
Wings, maybe?
Because, like, are wings horrifying? Are they not supposed to have that? Does it have to be a horror before it's allowed to have flying? Can we not just have flying zombies? I don't know.
We'll never solve this mystery. Moving along, we have the Storm Rider Spirit. For blue and 4, you get a 3/3 spirit at common with flash and flying. Yeah, we've had cards much the same as this in the past a lot, and it's still going to be just as good. It's a trick. You know, I attack with my 2/2, and then bam, this comes down. And it's also a 3/3 flyer.
Wait, no, I remember this card.
Yes, this did exist.
Una's Linebackers?
Yes! that was the one. Una's I forget the actual name, but yeah, Una's Linebackers with this exact text.
They pop down and are like, football!
In the previous Innistrad, we had Nephalia Sea Kite, which was a 2/3 for 4 with the same text. This is slightly bigger. Is a spirit. Again, single blue. I'm starting to think that your observation's correct, that blue really does feel like is a lot of the times just going to be the secondary color for what you're doing.
Oh, there we go. Sentinels of Glen Alendra. That's what I'm thinking of. They were 4 mana, 2/3 flash flying.
Oh, okay. They were in Nephalia Sea Kite.
Yeah.
I thought we had this exact text.
I thought
on
so too. That's
like maybe Magic Origins.
Hold on. This is important. CMC 5. Ooh. Rules text. Fairy Invaders.
Oh, okay. That wasn't an Origins of the Owl with Prowess on the 5 mana flyer.
This is exactly Fairy Invaders. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yep. Okay.
Also exactly Spire Monitor.
Huh. This is a card they like. I mean, which I guess for good reason. It's just fine. 3 power flying that also comes down and is like sometimes a trick blocker. Yeah. Anyway, we're almost at the end here. We've got just a couple left.
Moving right along.
Let's go ahead and move to the Trail of Evidence. Blue and 2 for an enchantment and uncommon. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, investigate.
This sounds kind of weak.
It effectively makes your instants and sorceries all have, like, this you can pay 2 cantrip on them.
Right, but when does it ever, like, end up paying for itself, you know? I guess... Yeah. No, okay. Trail of Evidence is further support for the Rise from the Tides deck.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to have a deck that actually has a lot of instants and sorceries and is like, I'm the Rise for the Tides deck that is in blue rather than splashing blue. You're going to need a lot of mana for that deck.
Yeah, this card is junk. Let's move on.
All right. Vessel of Paramnesia. Blue and 1 for an enchantment at common. Blue, sacrifice Vessel of Paramnesia. Target player puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Draw a card.
I am a little upset at this card.
Why is that?
Because the artwork is a callback to Memory Lapse.
Mm-hmm. Just straight.
But it doesn't do the effect even remotely. It's not
right.
Close.
You've called back to a thing, and it's just not that. Again, more separation of art and effect.
I'm a little sad about that. That said, it's also kind of junk.
You play this and it... So, one of the weirdest things about this card is, okay, you're almost always targeting yourself.
Oh, yeah. This is... Like, it puts an enchantment in the yard for your Delirium and then maybe other stuff, too. I want Delirium is what this card says. And it, like, at least replaces itself for that.
The worst thing is it's actually worse than another Vessel for doing exactly that.
Oh, my God.
Like...
That's incredible.
Like, at every single step, it's worse than another Vessel. So, I guess this is an additional mill card, I suppose. But that's not real. You're not milling your opponent with this. The additional mill card I referenced, we're not going to get to for quite a while. Anyway, let's go ahead and get to the last card in blue. Welcome to the Fold.
Welcome to the end. It's Welcome to the Fold.
Blue and 2 for a sorcery at rare. Madness X blue and blue. Gain control of target creature if its toughness is 2 or less. If Welcome to the Fold's madness cost was paid, instead gain control of that creature if its toughness is X or less.
All right. This is pretty good, I'm going to say.
Yeah. Even one of the biggest things that makes this strong is we're not in the world of, you know, Herloon Minotaur. We're in the world of 3/2. And if if we're in that world, you know, I on your 3, I play it, you know, you play a 3/2, and then on my 4, I take it.
It's mine now. The thing that makes me say that this is strong is that usually when we get control effects, it's either one shot from red or it's an enchantment for blue.
Right.
This is not that. It's just you just keep it.
Yeah, it's quite a rarity to see this sort of thing. We've seen it a couple times, usually more expensive than this.
Oh yeah. You know, it's not like totally unprecedented, but there's a reason that they don't do it is because they like to have a kind of built-in answer to that.
Right, and there isn't.
This is just like, nah, I'm gonna take it.
Okay. I guess your answer, the reason it can't be an enchantment is because of the targeting restriction having a lot of trouble. That would be very wordy.
Oh yeah, but I mean, we're already talking about like an 8-line card if we're including all of the madness reminder text.
Yeah,
I can totally get behind the necessity of the design. I'm just saying it's a little spicier than we usually get to have for that effect.
Yeah, it is weak to pump effects, but that's one thing.
Oh, can't man, steal. Surprise.
Yeah, I'm just going to steal, you know, especially if you, it's a sorcery, but you can madness it out at instant speed, which makes it, again, like a combat trick, too, if you have the madness on it.
Well, overall, what do you think of blue?
I'm kind of with you on the support color, with the exception of the flyers it have that are in the color, I think can easily support its own deck. If you have the, you know, the Nibbles with Prowess, the 3/3, and like maybe something like Stitchwing Scob, you can be main color blue.
I really can't imagine being main color blue because of all the things that we've been talking about. It's like, yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah, supporty. Yeah, okay, neat.
I think that's the only deck that really fits in main color blue is the flyers, because like that's, heck, there's only what, 2-3 common flyers, and like there's very little of it around.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely supporty color.
All right. I'm gonna leave it at that. I really want whoever, if you're listening to this cast, go look up the art for Press for Answers, because that is that's something that's important.
Yes, thank you, Steve Prescott, for that one. Out of time. I gotta get the answers.
I lost my pen. Extension, please.
Just scowl on her face, like,
man, I am so ready for press for answers more than frankly any card that's some kind of like a mystery hint at a mystery. And no, shut up, you're not gonna do a good mystery story with a magic set. It's gonna be stupid.
I want that swerve.
Anyway. Oh man, you know what else is blue is criminally lacking in all this?
What is it lacking in here?
Artwork with skulls.
Skulls.